Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Wednesday, August 17th, 2022, and welcome to Big Screens and TV Streams live from the Grand Forks Best Source Studios. Today's show is brought to you by the Southtown Poorhouse, where every day is a tremendous day at the Southtown Poorhouse. Stop in for your favorite drinks, and of course, happy hour with half-off apps and taps every day from 4 to 6 p.m. Can't forget about Buck Burgers on Tuesdays and the awesome steak specials on Thursdays starting at 6. So make sure to check out the Southtown Poorhouse events page to find out when your favorite band is playing live, because bands are starting up in just a few weeks. Every day is a great day at the Southtown Poorhouse. They are located at 2015 Library Circle next to the Grand Cities Mall and open Tuesday through Saturday from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. And they're now hiring with great pay, flexible hours, part-time or full-time employee discounts, and free cover on band nights. That's Southtown Poorhouse of Grand Forks. So welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Dale. Paul is on part two of his deep undercover assignment this week. Expect him back next week. Paul, we wish you the best on your travels. Get back safe. Joining me today is Victor.
Always great to be here. Hi, guys.
Producer Katie's in the house. What's up, Katie? She is continuing to be super tops at the producer role today.
Absolutely.
Biggest producer day yet, right?
Oh, I'm the best one.
Yes.
Here, so. I know, that's facts.
Double applause.
No shame in her game.
Yeah. Yep. And that clap you hear is from all of us, and then also from our special guest today, returning to the show, Icky Ichabod of Grand Forks Best Source's own show, Icky Ichabod's Weird Cinema. Welcome. Yes, there he is. Icky, how are we doing today?
I'm doing good.
Thanks for coming on, because we got, it's a great show today. It's our top three animated film special. We're going to be going around the table, going over our top three movies one at a time. And, there we go. Yep, thank you. Yeah, going over round by round, one by one, our top three animated films. Did a lot of research into this list, so.
Yes, we did, Dale. Yes, we did.
Yeah, it'll be going to be interesting to see what all our top three animated films are.
Yes, it will.
Yeah, so, and actually, I did get word from Paul. I reached out to Paul earlier in the day to get his top three animated films. So I'm just going to list them just three in a row here. If you guys got a quick thought or something about them, let's hear them, because I don't think his movies are on any of our lists. So his first pick, Transformers the Movie, the animated movie from 1986.
Didn't Optimus Prime die in that, and there was like a bunch of...
I think a lot of them bit the bullet in this one, right?
Yeah. This was actually one of the, like, I would say one of the greatest Transformers movies ever. They should have done this in live action because, yes, Transformers actually died. Sadly, yes, Optimus Prime passed away. But
well, yeah, they talk about it in the Goldbergs TV show when he goes and sees that he's just so let down that Optimus Prime died. That
it was a hurtful moment, man. It was. It was a hurtful moment.
Yeah, it was I think allegedly they did it just to do a brand new wave of action figures, right?
They did, but man, were those action figures so cool. Man.
As we were talking about earlier, you know, everything in the 80s was based to action figures, so.
Hey, but they were, it was cool to, you know, be an action figure collector or just play with them. I mean, G.I. Joe, I mean, even Transformers, I mean, Ninja Turtles.
So, number two on Paul's list is Ghost in the Shell, the anime from 1995. I know, I've always heard...
Did they make a live-action
I think they did
recently?
Do a live-action, like, in the last several years, right?
Not a good career choice for Scarlett Johansson, but, you know.
But you agree, the anime's pretty... I haven't seen the anime movie.
The anime movie is awesome. Oh, it's so... Like, it's like going back to future... Like, even futuristic times, this is what I think futuristic should be. Like, dark, like, machine...
Is it kind of like Ex Machina, or however you say that?
Ex Machina?
Ex Machina kind of one? Or yeah. I would say yeah. It's kind of like that. It's just a little bit more darker, though.
And then his number one pick, another anime. I have seen this one, Akira from 1988.
Yes. Isn't that a horror movie?
I think so, in a way.
It's more of a body horror. Yeah, in a way, but it's more...
Is it with the shark that comes on land and eats people?
No, not that kind of one. No. This is an anime. It's kind of like if you've seen an independent movie called Iron Man, not the Marvel one. It's where, of course, it's like... technology meets body horror. It's kind of like watching, like The Fly, except for this is more machine than man. So, and he has telekinetic gifts.
I remember being very freaky. I saw it at a young age, I think on Cartoon Network. It was on rerun one day. I was probably like 13, 14 or so. And I remember, I'm like, wow, this is freaking me out for being a cartoon movie.
Yeah, I was about to say, they had to like cut a lot of parts out because there was a lot of like...
Special TV cut.
Oh, there was a lot of like... bodies body going into like machines going into bodies, and it's just oh my gosh.
Well, body horror is its own thing, you know. It's a you know, pretty big subgenre of horror.
That it is.
Yeah, I know we've covered a couple of them on Weird Cinemas there. Yeah, yeah.
David Cronenberg, the biggest one, still
The Fly.
Oh yeah.
So thank you, Paul, for setting the list. We will see you next week. All right, now time to go through our top three. We're just going to go around the table with our top three picks. Icky, you're going to kick things off with us with your number three ranked animated movie. What do we have?
Well, you wouldn't expect this from me, but I have a heart for Despicable Me.
Well, that's, I mean, the latest one is tearing up the box office, right? The latest Minions movie?
I think so.
And that's, I think, would you say the Minions brand has kind of overtook the Despicable Me brand? Or they kind of rotate between Despicable Me movies and Minions movies, right?
Yeah, I think so. Steve Carell does a great job as the voice of Gru. One of the reasons I like this movie is because of the villain. His name is Vector. And his dad keeps calling him Victor. And he goes, my name's not Victor, it's Vector. That's my villain name.
Well, that's a classic homage, I believe, right, Victor?
Very. And I remember my favorite teacher always used to tell me, Victor, what's your vector? You know, and of course.
Yeah, I can. You probably got that so much over the years, probably, right?
Oh, yeah. It was never nonstop, but I loved it. So
it's like a badge of honor almost, right?
Right. And it was one of my favorite teachers.
Well, at least Vector tried to stole the moon, actually, in the... Because Gru is trying to steal the moon with a shrink ray, and he adopts these kids to try to infiltrate Vector's house or whatever you want to call it.
Mansion or whatever.
Curse you, and tiny toilet.
There's the one of the funniest parts of it is the piranha gun. Because he pulls out a gun that shoots piranhas.
It makes quite the splash.
Yeah. And then he also has that big shark underneath his house.
So I'm guessing, going by your ranking here, the original Despicable Me is your favorite out of the whole series there.
It is. I also, I did like Despicable Me 3 with Evil Brat, because it kind of showed, you know, basically what can happen to a child star.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, the only Despicable Me / Minions movie I saw was, I was vacationing at Universal Studios several years back, and they had like one of those in their like 4D theater. They had like a short 10 to 12 minute short film on the Minions movies, where like the theater, the seats would like rotate and like spray little water aerosols at you and all that for the whole 4D and all that. That was pretty interesting. But I hear great things about all that, like you just described about Despicable Me and the Minions movies, like great for all ages.
Well, the Despicable Me 2 actually has a luchador as one of the bad guys.
Oh, there we go. So that may be more up my alley for the first, if I were to check out one, go with Despicable Me 2 maybe for the fun wrestling references.
Yeah.
It's fun because I saw that movie with my sister, so we had a lot of fun.
You know what I'm talking about, Victor?
Yep, I do.
the luchador kind of guy. He wears the mask, and
yes, he is. He is the wrestler of the villains, and he's cool too because he's very like. Think of how, of course, he's like, if you ever seen like Don Juan DeMarco, except for, think of if you didn't see him as a hero, more as a villain, like, I am Don, I am the man that will defeat you, kind of way. And he's really cool. I love him. He's a great villain in there.
All the villains in Despicable Me are pretty great, though.
Yes, they
are. As I said, like Evil Brat and Vector, and I don't remember the wrestler's name, but.
All right, well, there you go. Icky kicking us off with his number three pick. Katie, you're next. We got your, what kicks off your list for your number three animated movie of all time? I believe.
Oh, no.
I really like a song in this movie. There we go. For people watching the video version, what do we got here?
Big Hero 6.
Big Hero 6.
And.
I love the song Immortal on the soundtrack for that.
Yeah, by Fall Out Boy. Same. Love them.
Is it my running playlist?
Rude, but I never really got into Fall Out Boy.
Well, it's a good... They put out a good song for the soundtrack for this.
Great band.
Katie, here we got the main characters on there. You remember that?
Yeah.
Baymax, the adorable... Was he officially a robot, or...?
Well, he looks like the Michelin Man.
That's what I was going to say.
Michelin Man.
That's what I thought, too. The Michelin Man, yeah.
Basically him, and then Hero is the guy. And those two just develop a special bond, and he kind of helps people, I guess. Baymax, or whatever his name is.
Well, yeah, they have a,
That's his name. Baymax. Yeah, Baymax.
They have a lot of really good just moments between the two as they develop their friendship and help each other out. And like, what was it, like the classic, I think from the trailer where he kind of deflates, right?
Yeah, it's more of a comedy, very much comedy movie for kids.
Which is weird from the comic book, because it was really dark. Like, it wasn't super dark, but it was more action-y in the comic book. But then it was different, of course, in the movie, because it was still good, though.
Was it an anime, or what was it?
It was an anime comic book. It was from Marvel. And then, of course...
Yeah, so officially a Marvel movie, right?
Yeah, it was. But, and of course, it's Disney-owned, so yeah, they can't trademark the licenses of it. So,
any other big moments for why this made your list, Katie?
It's cute.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's cute. Very much so.
That's basically it. So.
Oh, a lot of good fun family moments and all that, and very feel good, right?
Absolutely. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate my movie?
10 out of 10. It was nice. It was cute.
There you go.
That's one word to describe it.
There you go. All right. Well, we're up to me now. My number three pick here, going with another big Disney one from their vault here, I guess. It's getting up there in years. 31 years old, I can't believe it. Beauty and the Beast, yeah. The animated one, 1991. One of only three movies, animated movies, to get nominated for the Best Picture Oscar. Not just the Best Animated Movie Oscar, but the Best Overall Movie Best Picture Oscar, which I think the another one we'll be mentioning later on in one of our lists, and the other one that did was Up. Oh, yeah. So only those are two of the three movies that got nominated for Best Oscar.
Really?
Yes, very.
I really like Beauty and the Beast. However, I like the live action version better than the animated.
Oh, really?
Version.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's Disney's been doing a lot of those the last several years.
Aladdin,
yeah.
Dumbo, Beauty and the Beast. I believe they did The Little Mermaid or are doing The Little Mermaid.
They're about to do that. And I'm very surprised that they've done all these live action ones, and I'm very surprised that they're doing them. But go ahead.
But yeah, I love the songs in here are legendary. Just so many classic songs. The characters, who would have thought that, talking candles, teacups, and just the story of Belle and the Beast, the way their relationship develops. I mean, you see it's kind of hitting all the check marks off, the Disney formula there, but the way they do it in here, it's just something about it where it just rises far above all the standard typical Disney movies. And and then just phenomenal animation. The animators must have just, usually this was when Disney was on a roll for Disney animation for like a good 5-year stretch with Aladdin, Little Mermaid, Lion King, Jungle Book. It was like 88 to 89 to like 94, 95. They were killing it.
Oh, as I was going to say, Lion King had some pretty good music in it too. I think they used some of the same composers.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, Elton John did a classic in there. And yeah. But yeah, they were firing on all cylinders, to borrow an adage. And like I said, right when they're in the middle of an all-star run, Beauty and the Beast killed it.
Not to mention they had Luther Vandross do Beauty and the Beast, of course. And I forget who did it. I think it was Anita Baker who did also that as well. So with him. So it was a very good soundtrack as well as a great movie.
Yeah, great soundtrack. Love it. That's my number three. Victor, you're number three.
I wish I could talk about them all, but I have to say my number three... would have to be either... I had to be Lion King. I mean, I love Lion King. Very classic story. It's like literally watching Hamlet in a very animated way. Plus, not to mention, beautiful, beautiful voice cast. I mean, you got the great James Earl Jones. You got, Jeremy Irons. Jonathan Taylor Thomas. You got Nathan Lane. I mean, just... very beautiful, beautifully made cast. And, of course, top songs by the great Mr. Sir Elton John and Tim Rice, of course, who work beautifully together. They always collaborate very well together. And it earned an Oscar for Best Original Song, so I'm very happy about that. And fun fact that I actually named... I want to say my number three, of course, was Batman, Mask of the Phantasm. And
I was going to say something about that. That's a great film.
A very beautiful film. And funny thing was, Lion King, fun fact for everyone didn't know, that Batman Mask of the Phantasm was beaten by Lion King, could have won for best animated feature, but Lion King did not beat it out of the spot. So that was why I put those two movies together, because fun fact for that one. So
okay,
still a great movie though. Batman Mask of the Phantasm, great story, and it followed up the animated series incredibly
so
well.
So is Batman really your number three then? Mask of the Phantasm?
I mean, I want to say Lion King is, but yeah, Batman Mask of the Phantasm, still one of my favorites, and they reference it in so many other Batman continuities and comics, and they should, because the animated series, my god, like, that's the way to make animation. So,
all right.
And the movie was just kick, and the soundtrack, of course. Fun fact about the soundtrack, there's only one song on that entire soundtrack. Okay. Like, the only one song.
Oh, wow. Well, for Batman, Mask of the Phantasm.
Wow. There's called I Never Even Told You. Very great song, though. I could replay that song pretty much over and over in my head and on the soundtrack. So
yeah, Batman Mask of the Phantasm, it was great. I reviewed it on my movie blog quite a few years, not like maybe 3 or 4 years back. And yeah, it still held up. It is still a fantastic animated movie. So.
It's very heartbreaking too, which it's like, sometimes I can watch it. Like I can watch it all the time. Like I've watched that so many times I can imitate it for you. But the only thing is that it's heartbreaking to watch because like, that's the question I think a lot of people don't ask is, can Batman be happy? But, you know, but watch the movie and you'll see. Can he or can he not be?
So Lion King number three?
I want to say Lion King number three, but then I would guess I pick, like I said, I wish I could talk about all of them. But of course, you know, I'd say Batman.
Batman number three and then Lion King number two.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. All right, well, Ichabod, we'll throw it round back to you for your number two all-time animated movie of all time.
Well, you know, I'm a huge Tim Burton fan, so I'm going to do a couple Tim Burton.
Absolutely.
But Nightmare Before Christmas would have to be my second favorite animated movie.
And that was like, no, this was came out like a couple years in 93 before Toy Story was the first full-length computer animated movie. So was this part computer animation?
No, it was all claymation.
Oh, claymation.
Yep,
okay.
All claymation, yeah. Man.
I was going to say, yeah.
I really like claymation. Like, we're going to review The Corpse Bride on Icky Ichabod's Weird Cinema.
Still my favorite one. I love that movie. Ugh.
But, you know, Danny Elfman, you know, we were talking about composers who were great.
Oh, Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman. And he has a great singing voice because all the scenes where it shows Jack Skellington singing, it's Danny Elfman.
Very beautiful composer.
He works on almost all of Tim Burton's films.
Yep, he has collaborated with Tim Burton a lot on his films. And I can see why. Beautiful composer. Just like John Williams, always kills it.
And when we were talking about Puppet Master, apparently William Hickey is in this movie. He played the Andre Toulon in the original Puppet Master.
That's right. Yeah,
and
remember that.
Paul Rubens is actually in this movie. For those of you who don't know who Paul Rubens is, it's Pee Wee Herman.
What did his voice stand out to you right away, or were you
not
like,
really?
Yeah.
I had to actually watch the credits to see who did the voices, but it said Paul Rubens, and he apparently did the voice of Locke.
Yeah, I remember at the time seeing it. I was just as a kid back way back then. Like that claymation animation just. With this aesthetic they're going for with the... Because I always hear people kind of debate, is this more of a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie?
Well, it's basically Jack Skellington gets sick of, you know, just a monotonous life, and he decides to steal Christmas, basically, because he ends up in this place called Christmas Town. He's from Halloween Town, of course, and basically he steals Christmas. He goes, well, Santa, you can take the year off. I'll do this. And a bunch of chaos ensues, you know, after he steals Christmas.
What's this? Is magic everywhere? I love that song.
And so a great holiday movie and a great Halloween movie.
And the
two-for-one combo.
And the weird thing was that he didn't direct it. Like, I'm surprised Tim Burton did not direct this movie.
Oh, he didn't direct it? I thought he directed it.
No, he did not direct it, which was weird.
Was he
the story and the character design.
Oh, yeah, okay. It was based on his story, but no, he didn't direct it.
Director then, or
I forget his name. He's done animation as well.
Henry Selick.
Yep, that's his name. Henry Selick, and it was weird because I'd seen his name on a lot of films that he's done.
Over the years. Apparently it's a Disney movie too.
Yeah,
But it's kind of weird because Burton had a fallout with Disney in the 80s.
Oh, okay. So like, he got back in their good graces then.
Basically.
Yeah, and they had to put it under the Brita Vista, which is another Disney company for those of you who
do. Oh, yeah. One of their umbrella branches there.
Yeah. Well, and it's a very good company.
So. Burton has done a lot for Disney since he came back to Disney.
That's good.
And oh, that's the only reason I'll ever watch a Disney movie is because if it has Tim Burton some way involved in it.
Maybe some foreshadowing there. But for your number one here is soon to come, right?
Yes.
We shall see. All right. So we'll throw it to Katie for her number two pick for all-time animated movie. So, Katie, what? She is queuing up the picture here, and it will be here soon. And I can believe it's safe to say this may be a movie that got... Did it help get you into the racing scene?
No, it didn't.
No? No. Are we already invested by the time this? By the time you saw the originals?
Well, I don't... I don't even know what year it came out.
I got 2006.
Oh, that's probably about the time to the races, I guess. I think I want to say my dad brought me to the races before this movie came out. Hmm. So,
The main character?
So probably within like a year or so of each other? Or
probably. You know. I'd say I went first.
Very interesting.
So. Isn't the main character named Lightning McQueen or something like that?
Yeah, yep. So it's a car. It's very, very highly animated. Just a car. He thinks like he's the best race car in the world. He unexpectedly ends up in a town he doesn't necessarily like. But I get the gist of this movie. You know, there's life lessons to be learned. Respect others, be nice, and just treat others.
Yeah,
I'm sure you guys have all seen it.
Very, very true. Oh, yeah. I love that movie.
Oh, yeah. Cars is great.
Plus, he's played by the great and always funny Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great cast of supporting characters, too. I mean, Mater. You can't go wrong with Mater, right?
Oh, yep.
Gosh, he's the best. Well, it's funny because they actually made people say the knockoff version. What was it? Cars 2. Where it was just about Mater.
Right.
And it wasn't as good as the original Cars.
Yeah.
Isn't he the tow truck?
Yes, he is.
Yep.
He is the tow truck. Bucket.
Yep.
Question for the table.
She is my fiance. What? Yes. No, I'm just kidding. She just likes me from about it.
God.
Question for the table. Ever been tractor tipping?
Right, that's what I was gonna literally ask.
No, I haven't.
No.
That's called tractor tipping.
Yeah, I've played a couple of the Cars video games, but they got a tractor tipping mini game in there where it's all sneaky. You gotta sneak around to each tractor, hit it when they're not alert, just to get them to go off. And the Cars video games are very good, actually. So yeah,
I also love that they incorporated, like, there was a hippie van, and of course there was like a military jeep, and of course the hippie van's just looking at the light and he's like, I'm telling you, man, like, it's gonna change to green pretty soon. He's like, take a car wash. Well, hippie,
you know what, I don't, you know, this is a good movie, but I don't get these movies with anthropomorphic inanimate objects.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know Disney, that's kind of their forte with a lot of these animated movies. You know, they've got a lot of Sporky, I guess, in Toy Story 4, or just all the Toy Story movies in general. Yeah.
Toy Story 1 was good, but after that, it kind of went downhill. I've heard the new Lightyear is really good, though.
Yeah, we shall see. I think we may make one of our lists here coming soon here, but I guess before we get moving on, speaking of vehicles, give a shout out to our friends at Everett's Old School Cycle, where attention Harley-Davidson owners, there is a place to get your Harley worked on. It's Everett's Old School Cycle of Grand Forks. Everett's is the only PhD-certified Harley-Davidson technician in the area, and your one-stop shop for welding and machining, tires, oil changes, adjustments, and tuning and service. Everett's is also a drag specialty and biker's choice dealer, along with Midwest V-Twin Manufacturing, Dynojet, Jim's Dealer, Tab Exhaust, AMS Oil, and Lucas Oil Dealer, too. Everett's can get all the parts you need directly from Harley Davidson. Oh, and by the way, they'll pick up your bike too, so you don't have to drag it all the way over there. So treat your Harley Davidson motorcycle the right way it should be treated by going to Everett's Old School Cycle and call them up at 701-772-3232. Everett's Old School Cycle of Grand Forks. All right, well, we're going to keep this list moving along here. I believe I'm next up with my number two pick. A little bit of a interesting pick, and I think our first R-rated pick on the list here for animated movies.
Yep.
South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut from 1999. Yeah, of course, came out just a couple of years after the TV show debuted on Comedy Central.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, the show was a hit.
Oh,
big rocket success.
I've been watching South Park since it came out in 1997.
Yeah, yeah, I think I started around the same, or maybe within a year.
I saw a little bit of it more than I actually thought I would. And the funny thing was, is Comedy Central at that time was really just going through their crazy schedule. But then when South Park came along, oh boy, like you said, Dale, it was a huge hit. Everybody was tuning in. So, and I included, even though I wasn't a huge South Park fan at the time, I was Family Guy, but still, I love South Park. Very hilarious stuff.
Yep. Yeah, it was, of course, a lot of people were interested to see the movie because, too, it was like, you know, hey, this is going to be in a movie. They're giving it the R rating. You know, they had limits set by standards and FCC or whatnot for being on cable. So first time you actually got to see the movie, I guess, unless you bought the videotapes, I guess, but for the old TV shows back then. But like, but seeing in the theater, really the first time for anyone got to see South Park uncensored and go make full use of that R rating. Oh, my God. Yeah. There's some definitely moments where they earned their R rating in that movie.
Extremely.
Like the Uncle song.
Yeah, yeah, the soundtrack is awesome. It's pretty much like a half musical.
Right. They did the what was it? They did Cosmo's a Bitch, of course. Yep. And then, of course, they did that at the Oscars, too.
They got nominated, I believe, for was it Blame Canada?
Yep. And then they did, of course, Mormon Song at the Oscars as well. So that, I was very surprised.
The creators of South Park made a Broadway musical called The Book of Mormon.
Yep. Yep. The Book of Mormon. Yep. They did that at the Oscars, like I said before. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. Absolutely love South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. And it wasn't just a hit with fans of the show, like little kids watching it at the time too. Like it was a hit with like a lot of big critics at age groups among all. A lot of people kind of, this movie led it to big, just super mainstream success.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, that's South Park, Bigger, Longer, Uncut, my number two pick. Victor, I guess you kind of already went over your number two. You kind of lumped your three and two together, kind of. Yeah, I guess if you want to give a refresher for the people.
Yeah, my number two, of course, and number, like I said, I did lump them together, but still at the same time, because they did have a lot of connections with each other. But of course, I will say my number two was Lion King, of course, just because I loved it. I mean, it again, Tim Rice, Elton John, great soundtrack, Oscar won for best original song, not to mention great voice cast. You got the great James Earl Jones, and you got
who did the voice of the Timon and Pumbaa?
Timon was voiced by Nathan Lane, a very, very funny actor. The guy who did Pumbaa, I forget his name, but he's very funny too. It will come to me hopefully in a second. But then there was Jeremy Irons, and then there was of course Matthew Broderick, and there was just so many. And Jonathan Taylor Thomas, who was very young, and he was still doing Home Improvement at that time.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he was like the big commodity among just the person to be on the bubble for bigger and bigger, better things.
Yes, he was. And so, I mean, this is a great movie. And not to mention that Disney, when they do movies, they do it correctly. Like, the animators went over to Africa, they sketched the animals, and heck, they even brought a live male African lion into the studio, and they brought him in with a chain, and they had him sit like lay down, and everyone fed him. I'm like, okay, well, this is kick ass. So I was like, that's crazy. So
heck yeah, very nice pick, man. And I guess not to rush things too much here, but we kind of on a little bit of a time limit here today. But you know, definitely don't just name the movie and go on for your number one pick. Make sure you get a few points in there, but just a friendly reminder on that. But with that out of the way, Icky, let's hear your number one animated movie of all time.
Frankenweenie.
Speaking of Tim Burton, right?
Yes.
And he actually directed this one, right?
Yes, he did. It was originally a live-action feature back in the 80s, but Disney took it away from him when they fired him. And they wouldn't even give him access to the actual anything. And then, like, maybe 7-8 years ago, it came out as an animated feature. Basically, it's Frankenstein, but with a dog.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, he, like, raises his dog from the dead, and a bunch of side effects happen.
Yeah, and then other people are trying to raise their animals from the dead, and there's a giant turtle named Shelley.
Oh,
In terms, Mary Shelley, Frankenstein, you know?
Hence the reference, yep.
Yep.
And Shelley is, like, attacking the town, and the Frankenweenie has to save him. His name is Sparky. Then at the end, there's, like, a homage to, like, Bride of Frankenstein, when this girl dog that he likes gets electrocuted, and her hair is like Bride of Frankenstein.
Oh, nice. I was just going to ask you, what would be a standout moment from the film to make it your definitive number one?
Probably when the weird girl's cat gets electrocuted, and it turns into like this demonic bat creature.
Oh, man.
You know, hence the Tim Burton, you know, the horror. And
very cool. Very awesome number one pick, Icky. Well done. All right, Katie, what's your number one all-time animated movie of all time?
You know, it's like sometimes I think this is not my number one, but see, I would be lying to myself if I didn't.
Yeah, go with your heart, right?
That's the thing.
So here we go. She's queuing up the image. Here we got
SpongeBob SquarePants.
The SpongeBob SquarePants movie from 2004.
God, I love this movie.
Yes, I know.
Rest in peace, Steven Hillenburg.
Yes, very much rest in peace. R.I.P., man.
So what made this your number one?
The amount of times I've watched it.
I was going to say, we were talking in the pre-show. You said you saw this, what, a dozen times over the years?
So many times. Well, up until, like, maybe 09, maybe 10, you know. That's
was it like family had the DVD and just, like,
well, it's... yeah. Me and my cousin were so... We're only 1 year apart. Well, actually 2 years apart, technically. And the amount of... Yeah, we've just watched this movie so many times. It's very adventurous.
I was looking up some details on the plot, and it's pretty much like Plankton wants to ruin Mr. Krabby's business and take over the world, is what I gathered.
That's like every single episode for the past God knows how many years.
Right.
I like the Patrick Starr show, personally.
That's true. Yeah.
I guess I'm unfamiliar with that.
It's a spinoff of SpongeBob SquarePants. It's called The Patrick Starr Show. And Patrick Starr actually has a podcast like we have here.
Oh, wow. Well, he's doing it in character and all that?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Hey, there
news
you go.
To me.
There you go. New podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, everyone's doing a podcast.
Favorite moment from the movie, Katie?
Is it the one
I'm trying to think? Is it the mustache?
Yes.
I don't know the lyrics.
Men, we have facial hair. Now that we're men, I changed my underwear.
Oh, and the Goofy Goober when SpongeBob is drunk.
Like,
oh my God, yes.
You mean this big peanut guy,
Patrick?
Oh, waiter! Waiter!
Woo! There you go. Giving it the respect the SpongeBob SquarePants movie deserves.
I forgot about that. Okay.
There you go. Awesome number one pick, Katie.
Yeah.
All right, my number one pick is... Icky, I know you said the later movies didn't do as... You weren't a big fan of, but I'm going to go with Toy Story 3. Toy Story 3 for my number one animated movie of all time. I know we're kind of a lot of reasons we're justifying for our picks being, you know, good themes about it, going on adventures and being adventurous and whatnot. Toy Story 3, you definitely get the adventure vibes in there, but I thought it had an awesome theme of just letting go and moving on, because, you know, Andy's growing up throughout the Toy Story movies, and, you know, it kind of all leads to a big climax there at the end where Andy decides to let go of his treasured toys because they're sitting in a box, make sure he passes them on to a kid he sees who's in need of toys, and making sure the toys go to a good owner to be the next Andy, so to speak. I thought it was a great message, and there's actually a lot of big dramatic moments in this movie too.
I remember
it kind of created quite the stir online. I remember some online like just like, they did what?
Yeah, I was kind of the same. I was like, dude, you could have took your toys with you. But I understand. You know, when you get older, you know, you need to pass them on to the next generation. And,
you know, one of my favorite comedy actors is actually in this. Does the voice of Rex.
Mm-hmm.
He's also on Young Sheldon. He plays Dr.
I'm trying to remember the actor.
But he's been in like the Haunted Mansion and.
Okay, I can't remember the actor off the top of my head. Victor?
I know who he's talking about, too.
But while you're thinking about it, I'll give just a quick story about how I saw this movie. I saw it from Netflix DVDs in the mail, traditional Netflix. And I was getting ready to watch it, and I got a call from a buddy. And, well, he was going through a breakup at the time. So I always told him, I'm like, hey, if you just need someone to be around, man, just give me a call. I'm your guy. And of course, he called me and said, hey, man, can I come over? I just need to be around somebody. I'm like... You know, I'm about to throw in a movie if you're down for watching it with me, but just a heads up, from what I've heard, I heard this is a pretty sad movie. He's like, oh, that's fine. I'm like, all right. Sure enough, we watched Toy Story 3, and by the end of the movie there, it got pretty dusty in the room. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, two grown-ass guys crying over Toy Story 3. Gotta love it. But yeah, and it was the third animated movie that got nominated for Best Picture Oscar. So that's the third one I alluded to earlier.
As it should.
All right. So, Victor, finish it off for us. Your number one all-time animated movie.
Gotta go with my Happy Feet. I love Happy Feet. Happy Feet's such a good movie.
Is that Katie approving? I thought yes, I heard. Oh. All good.
I love this movie. This movie is one of my... Yes. I love Happy Feet. Not only great voice cast, just it pretty much showed, like, now it won an Oscar for best animated feature, and it was really, really good, just because, like, the animation was great, not to mention the voice cast. You got Elijah Wood, you got Hugh Jackman, and you got Brittany Murphy. R.I.P. to that woman. She's an incredible actress. She was, and the cool thing is that she could sing. Like, that woman could bust a note. Like, and I, when I first heard her sing, I was like, oh my God, like, this woman, like, she, I don't understand why
this was a DreamWorks one, right?
No, this was Warner Brothers.
Or Warner Brothers. I was going to say, well, it's not too often that Pixar loses the best animated movie category.
Right? But, man, they did this perfectly.
I like the movie, but I don't like the premise.
The whole, you know, different, he can't sing. So, in this premise, Elijah Wood plays, of course, you know, Mumble, and Mumble cannot sing. Like the rest of his flock, of course. And, of course, when he cannot sing, he can dance up a storm, though. And, of course, he meets up with these cool guys who is played by, of course, R.I.P., another great, great talent, just cannot be denied, Mr. Robin Williams, of course. Oh, yeah. And he's just so funny in this movie. And
you know, there's a penguin movie I like, and it's called Farce of the Penguins.
Don't recall that one. Victor?
What is it?
Farce of the Penguins. It's like March of the Penguins, but it has a bunch of comedians talking over the penguins.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I didn't remember that one. Yeah, I remember that one.
But Happy Feet, man. Great picks. Great picks, Icky and Katie and Paul. Thank you, everyone. Yes. So, yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun. Hopefully we get to do more of these top three breakdown specials in the future here.
Very much so.
And thanks again for having me back.
Oh, yeah. We're going to just quick burn through just a couple last quick segments of the show here. We're going to try and really just rapid fire this, knock it out in a few minutes. But not before we give a quick shout out to the Mayor's Back the Badge ride. It's coming up August 24th at the Alaris Center parking lot from 4:30 to 9. And it's back for the second year. Mayor Brandon Bochensky is excited to invite UTV, ATV, motorcyclists, and even golf cart enthusiasts together to enjoy a family-friendly recreation within the Grand Forks city limits while supporting the Grand Forks Police, Grand Forks Sheriffs, and University Police Departments. As part of the festivities this year, we are excited to announce Zero Gravity Outreach. It is a motorbike and quad aerial display. So here's your chance to show off your support for these brave men and women who dedicate themselves each day to protecting our community. The schedule of events can be found at the website, and you can also register at the website. It's www.mayorsbackthebadgeride.com. So check it out, the Mayor's Back the Badge Ride, the second annual event taking place August 24th at the Alaris Center parking lot from 4:30 to 9. All right. Just back at the show here, we just got a couple quick things we're going to just quickly go through today. And I think, I believe, if I get my notes right here, I'm just going to... Victor, if you can make this real quick.
I can.
All right. You got some news on Henry Cavill.
He doesn't want to play Superman anymore, and it's only because, number one, it's Superman curse. It's because of the Superman curse, and George Reeves, Christopher Reeves, they pretty much have just defied what the Superman curse was. Plus, he hasn't really done well with, you know, his roles in Superman. He was doing it in Shazam, but he then backed out of that, you know, cameo appearance in Shazam. He also had, of course, with the Justice League Snyder Cut, which was a good movie, but also because of the Joss Whedon thing, that kind of sucks, so that's pretty much how I look at it, and I don't blame him if he doesn't want to come back, because he's got other projects like The Witcher and many other
ones. Yeah, he's a busy guy. Very I hope he comes guy. Back. I liked him in the role. He was phenomenal, I thought, in Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman. I thought he did a great job.
Same. I thought he did really good, and it sucks that, you know, the Joss Whedon thing pretty much was that. And not to mention, they also... You know, they spent a whole bunch of money, like, digitizing his
own stash. Yeah.
Because he was going to go do Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise, right. Which was really a waste of money. But again, I didn't star in the movie. I did direct it. So.
Right on. All right. Well, thank you. We're two quick movies mentioned hitting theaters this weekend. We got Beast.
Yes.
Starring Idris Elba. Idris Elba. Okay, yeah.
Don't worry, I did the same.
Idris Elba plays Dr. Nate Daniels, a recently widowed husband returning to South Africa Game Reserve, where he first met his wife on a long-planned trip with his daughters to get away, till a poacher survivor lion is on the loose, and he pens the family as his next target. Sounds pretty intense.
Yeah, it's like the movie Prey. It's so awesome. I can't wait for this.
And lastly, Bulletproof, starring Vinnie Jones playing a mob boss chasing down a thief that just jacked millions from him, and he has his pregnant wife as a hostage. So, ooh. Yeah, that could be...
Okay.
It sounds like a very interesting premise. And that's going to be, in theaters this Friday. So we're going to give one more sponsor a quick shout-out here. Kind of rapid-firing this, folks, here. So we got the Greenway Takeover Festival brought to you by HB Sound and Happy Harry's Bottle Shops. It's coming back to downtown Grand Forks September 8th through the 11th. You'll hear live music from the Gear Daddies, Mae Simpson, Big Head Todd and the Monsters, the Yonder Mountain String Band, Cuckoo Kangaroo, Manic Drive, and more. Enjoy food, games, beer, and music. It's free before 6 p.m. and $10 admission after. So bring the whole family for 4 days of absolute fun. The Greenway Takeover Festival is September 8th through 11th, brought to you by HB Sound and Light and the Happy Harry's Bottle Shops. Find out more by going to greenwaytakeover.com. Like I mentioned last week, always a good time there. Super cheap admission to great bands and lots of good food and beverage vendors. Check it out. All right, so we are going to wind down with our quick takes for the week. Icky, you're our guest. Why don't you kick things off for us? What you've been watching with or seeing this past week or so?
Well, I've been watching a lot of America's Got Talent recently.
Okay, yeah, that's a big reality show. Pretty much the successor to American Idol, right?
Yep.
Is it your guilty pleasure or just always your go-to destination?
It is my guilty pleasure. I like seeing what some of these people can do.
I've only seen clips of it online. I haven't really watched it in its entirety.
If you want to find something pretty funny, look up the Parmesan cheese guy, and the Big Apple.
Any other quick takes from what you've been seeing the last week or so?
Well, I should say this. I've been kind of binge-watching the animated Beetlejuice.
Oh, the old school. There you go.
Hell yeah.
I know you covered the live-action movie on an old episode of Weird Cinema.
Yes, I did.
All right. Yeah, make sure to check that out in the archives. And why don't you give a quick plug for your show?
Oh, yeah. Icky Ichabod's Weird Cinema. Tune in if you want. Icky Ichabod's Weird Wrestling. Tune in.
Yeah, you can find it on the Grand Forks Best Source Archives, wherever you find podcasts or Facebook, Twitter, Twitch. Or it premieres live every Friday night at 9. All right. Katie, quick takes for the week.
C-Boys, of course. Big Brother. God, someone hates it when I say C-Boys week, but I love it.
I'm sorry.
What's been the latest C-Boy moment?
I just love the name.
Something car related.
Something car related, of course. And they wrecked it hard, right?
Yes, they did.
those guys, when will they learn?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And everyone hates it, but I start school this Tuesday, so...
Counting down the days, right?
Yep. So if everyone's wondering, I'll be missing around the studio, but I'll do what I can to come back on. So.
Well, we always appreciate all your endless hard work. Yeah. I send you a bunch of pictures each week for the show. I feel bad each time. I'm like, oh God, Katie, here's 20 pictures for the show this week. Don't kill me.
Well, I'll get them in. I can always make up what I miss in the daytime and the evening. So that works out.
It won't be the same without you, Katie.
10, all right.
All right, we'll give a big applause for Katie being just super tops.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so for me, I guess what I've been seeing, still keeping up with the captain, and I think I'll be reviewing Pen 15 next week, so keep an eye out for that, and another A&E WWE biography on Lex Luger. That guy has some real dark days. The whole last half hour of that documentary is, like, very, very dark stuff. Lex Luger fans probably know about his relationship with Miss Elizabeth. They got some dark stuff there and some dark just personal stuff with Lex Luger that definitely captured his highs and lows and why he wasn't liked that much backstage and just some of his success on stage too. So definitely check out those A&E biographies.
I would recommend these two.
You've been keeping up too, Icky?
I haven't been keeping up on them, but I've seen a couple of them. But another show, is Dark Side of the Ring.
Yes, Vice TV put that on. That is really good must-see viewing also. Yeah. All right, Victor, send us home with your quick takes.
All right, I got, of course, why quality over quantity in cinema. So quality, of course, I do appreciate quality a lot. It doesn't necessarily, I know a lot of people think, probably lambast me for this, but still, it's true. Style over substance. I would go substance. I mean, unless you're like Matthew Vaughn, great filmmaker, or if you're like, Sam Raimi, I would totally, go one or the other. But the quality, again, can't please everybody. So, I mean, you can try all you want to, but people sometimes they know what they want and sometimes they don't. Honestly, I don't think they know really what they want. But again,
personally, I just hate when people just regurgitate movies over and over and over and keep making sequels and...
sequelitis.
Yeah, but I don't like that either. But at the same time, I understand why, you know, because, again, they didn't believe in it at first. And then, of course, when it became very well, they tried to milk it for all that it is worth. So I can understand that. Terrible way to go about it, but smart business dealing. I understand that. So.
Now, while that is terrible, I see you do got something else in your quick takes that is great.
Yes. Werewolf Within, great indie movie. I was the only one in the theater who saw this movie. It was based on a video game of the same name, which was very unique. I did not play the video game, but it was kind of an episodic video game.
I think it was like a virtual reality game, right?
It was weird, and it was kind of under the radar, and PlayStation, of course, had it on their radar, but it was very, very good. And the movie itself, like, just was phenomenal. Great cast, and of course, the AT&T girl, if any of you have ever seen the AT&T girl, super funny lady. Like, she is really hilarious. Not just in her commercials, but just, she's played Squirrel Girl on Marvel Animated shorts as well as in, of course, the Marvel female superheroes, of course. And she is very, very funny. And I hope she gets to play Squirrel Girl, because I know Anna Kendrick was supposed to play her in live action. So hopefully they get her to play this in live action as well. But like I said, this movie is great if you all get a chance. And there's also a very great lesson at the end of Werewolf Within about nice guys. So please, if you ever get a chance to watch that, please watch that so they can defeat that statistic in that movie. So
very good. Any other quick takes, or that about good?
Oh, pretty much. I can't wait to see Beast. Idris Elba is always going to kick ass no matter what movie he does, whether independent or even, you know, mainstream. So I'm really excited to see Beast, and I can't wait to see him kick ass and beat the shit out of a lion. So I'm really excited.
Oh, yeah. PETA will have your butt for saying that.
Oh, no. You know, PETA has really gone after so many people. Dog with a Purpose, we're looking at you. And nobody drowned a dog. So.
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys. We'll wrap it up with that. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to today's episodes of Big Screens and TV Streams. Many thanks again to today's sponsors, Everett's Old School Cycle, the Southtown Poorhouse, Greenway Takeover Festival, brought to you by HB Sound, and the Mayor's Back the Badge Ride. All right. We welcome you to join us live for all future episodes every Wednesday at 2 on gfbestsource.com, and find past episodes by subscribing to the Grand Forks Best Source everywhere you find podcasts. And as mentioned earlier, please support Grand Forks Best Source by donating a spare buck or two our way via the gfbestsource.com donate link right at the top of the page, or leaving us a 5-star review on your go-to podcast app. So many thanks to Victor.
Thank you always again. Excited to be here.
Many thanks to special guest Icky Ichabod. And many thanks to our extraordinary producer, Katie.
Yes, peace.
And many thanks to everyone for having us part of your day. We'll see you next week with a return to our usual format. Goodbye.